The LexisNexis Real Estate Law Community Podcast. Presentations and interviews with leading attorneys and industry professionals. On this edition, Mike Hensley of Alvarado Smith and member of the editorial board of Matthew Benter's California Real Estate Reporter on California mechanics lien statutes. The opinions expressed by guests interviewed on LexisNexis legal podcasts do not necessarily reflect those of Reed Elsevier Incorporated, LexisNexis, subsidiary companies, shareholders, employees, or customers, and should not be considered legal advice. I'm Steve Burstler of LexisNexis. With me today is W. Michael Hensley, a shareholder in Alvarado Smith's Santa Ana, California office. Mr. Hensley's been a litigator and an appellate attorney involved in a wide variety of commercial and civil disputes for more than 30 years. Mike specializes in law and motion proceedings, trials, arbitrations, mediations, and appeals, as well as specially writ proceedings. He's a member of the bars of all federal district courts in California, the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, and the U.S. Supreme Court. He handles general real estate litigation, bankruptcy, adversary proceedings, as well as banking and commercial litigation at the state, federal trial, and appellate levels. He received his B.A. degree in speech communication from the University of Southern California and his J.D. from Rutgers Camden Law School. Mike's been a contributing member to the editorial board of Matthew Benter's California Real Estate Reporter since the middle 1990s. He's also been involved in close to 20 published decisions involving diverse issues at both the state and federal levels of practice, including at the Ninth Circuit and U.S. Supreme Court levels. Mike, it's a pleasure to welcome you to this LexisNexis Legal Podcast.
Thank you, Steve. I'm very happy to be here, and thank you for hosting me.
Our topic today, California mechanics liens, and in California, there are a constitutional right guaranteed to contractors, and it's one of the few states where that's the case. So, Mike, to start with, how does that impact mechanics liens in California?
Steve, I think you will have to say that it probably gives them paramount importance, and as a result, there is a very, very comprehensive statutory scheme that regulates it, as well as there is a lot of case law, including some early challenges of whether or not the liens were deprivation of property rights, given the notice scheme that it could be recorded and whether the owner had the ability to challenge. And so there were compensating ways, especially Lambert expungement motions, which we will get into, to explore that. And as a result, there is a tension in the case law between, but it segs into the constitutional thing, that the parent driving force is to make sure that the people providing work to the property, the mechanics lien claimants, get protected. And so the statutes are to be construed liberally to achieve that end. I will tell you, in recent years, it's that there has been a little bit more of a compensating factor to where they also understand that the other folks involved, the owners, construction lenders, people that would be subject to the mechanics lien or could be impacted, also have rights to make sure that the procedural strict rules of the mechanics liens are observed in order for the mechanic lien claimant to have a valid lien.
And there have been a number of significant changes to the statutes over the years. Mike, what do you think were the most significant legislative changes to the mechanics lien statutes, just say, in the past couple of years?
Well, that's kind of the exciting area. Overall, probably up until the last couple of years, you would only get sporadic changes because the mechanics lien scheme has been in force for a long period of time. But what happened in the last couple of years, and it started in 2010, but most of the changes came into effect on July 1st of this year, there was a consolidation of the mechanics lien stop notice and bonding changes. They were scattered all throughout the civil code, and now they have been consolidated in civil code 8000. So practitioners and even business folks can go to that one area and find the mechanics lien and stop notice. There's also been a standardization of terminology. For example, direct contractor replaces what was known as original contractor. instead of the concept of material man, it's material supplier. The preliminary 20-day notice is now a preliminary notice, and the mechanics lien is now without the apostrophe, so it's mechanics lien. I guess also for those folks that do stop notice is now called stop payment notice. So there's really been an effort to get everything kind of into one area rather than spread out in various areas of the civil code, and the terminology has been standardized. The second thing that's been important is that the claimant must now serve a notice of the mechanics lien to the owner and the construction lender. And it used to be that you could just unilaterally record it, and the only time they would sometimes know that it had been recorded was when there was a subsequent lien foreclosure action. Now, in order to have a valid lien, you actually have to attach proof of service showing that you gave notice of the recorded lien before filing any lawsuit on the owner and construction lender. The third important change is now you must record a list pendens when you file a lien foreclosure suit. After you record your mechanics lien, there's a 90-day period. You must, within that 90-day period, file what's called a lien foreclosure suit to foreclose on the property, the mechanics lien that you've recorded. It used to be discretionary in terms of whether people filed the mechanics lien or list pendens, and most people probably did not. It's now mandatory that you file a list pendens. And there's a, I will quote, put in quotes, biggie aspect of this, because under the list pendens statute, you have an expungement procedure in which you can actually have the court, before trial, do a mini merits view of whether the lien claim is valid or not. And if you're successful in showing it's not, or you get your attorney's fees in a reasonable amount. So they basically have incorporated the list pendens expungement scheme, and it gives added protection to the parties that are impacted by the mechanics lien. The fourth change is there's new preliminary notice and lien forms. They are clearer, and they also make sure that you do not have to get an acknowledgement. You don't have to go in front of a notary and give your thumbprint. It's simply a verification that you verify under penalty of perjury that the information is correct on the preliminary notice or lien forms. The fifth major change is on completion, and it is taken out. Completion is an important term, and there's various triggers for when there's a completion of a work that is subject to a mechanics lien. It used to be that bare acceptance by the owner was completion. That has been changed, and that is no longer a trigger. Also, on notices of completion, there used to be that you had to record them, and notices of completion are a protection mainly for landlords or owners. In other words, it cuts off the period of time in which lien claimants can record their liens. It used to be you had to record a notice of completion 10 days after work had basically been completed or stopped. Now that's been extended to 15 days. And notices of completion now actually have to be given. The owner has to give them to the direct contractor and any lien claimant who's given a preliminary notice, and that's a notice change. The sixth major revision is on preliminary notice. It now has to be given to the construction lender by any contractor or any claimant who has a direct relationship to the owner, and that's a change. Construction lenders previously did not have to be given a preliminary notice. And the preliminary notice is kind of a trigger. It's sent usually 20 days before work begins, or even if you're into it, it will extend back 20 days to capture any work, and it's basically to alert the owner, the contractor, that, hey, someone hasn't been paid, and so it's an attempt to try to get people together before a mechanics lien has to be recorded and see if they can work it out or take care of the problem, make sure that the potential claimant is paid. Seventh Chain is on a lien release bond. Mechanics liens attached to the property, Steve. If you want to sit there and get the lien off the property, the person that's impacted by the lien can actually record a bond, usually obtained from a surety. And it used to be have to be 150% of the claimed amount in the mechanics lien. That has been dropped to 125%. And when you get that bond, in essence, you substitute the bond as the security so that you will have clean title and the mechanics lien claimant only looks to the bond. That can sometimes be important if someone wants to has a sale of the property where they have a lender who is upset if there's mechanics liens recorded and so a bond is gotten instead. Usually that's if there's it's for relatively small claims. The eighth change has to deal with design professional liens. And this is relatively, I would say, in the last 15 years, it used to be that mechanics liens had to be for work that was actually visibly completed and done in the project. The problem is what were architects and people that they hadn't really shown any tangible, they had not put any stakes in the property, they had not done any compacting, they hadn't done any grading, how did they get protected? So the legislature did something called a design professional lien that gave people that didn't have a tangible product but had kind of an intangible, had done work for the project, and it was mainly to protect architects. The definition in the recent changes of design professional lien has been expanded to include landscape architects also. And the ninth change has to do with Civil Code 3154. That's the old one. It's now Civil Code 8482. What that is it was a summary lien release procedure. And it applied for the fact that you recorded a timely mechanics lien, but you never filed a lien foreclosure suit, or you filed it after the 90-day period from when you recorded the mechanics lien. There was a procedure under 3154, now 3482, that you can go in on a petition to the court rather than having to file an action and challenge it. You can go in on a summary petition and show the court that there was never any action, a lien foreclosure action filed, or it was filed late and you could get a summary release from the lien that you could then get an order from the court and record it showing that a mechanics lien had been expunged. It used to be you could only get attorney's fees if you prevailed for up to $2,000. There was a cap. That cap is now gone, and it's up to the court to determine reasonable attorney's fees. So in essence, it's open-ended, except that it has to be reasonable in amount. So I think that's a quick summary of the most significant changes, and most of them were effective July 1st of this year.
Why did the legislature feel the need to address some of those issues?
Well, I think there's probably three major objectives that the legislature was attempting to do, maybe four. And the first one is I think they wanted to get everything consolidated into one place to where people did not have to parse through different sections of the civil code. And sometimes even some of these were contained in the Code of Civil Procedure. Now they're all in this one area of the civil code, and it begins at Section 8000. The second thing is I think they wanted to give expanded protections to construction lenders. And we indicated that you have to now give a notice of mechanics lien and other protections that you normally did not have to give under the old law. The third thing is I think they wanted to give better notice to the owners and contractors. And that's why they've now required that the preliminary notices are clearer in nature, and you actually have to serve the preliminary notice on these individuals or entities that would be impacted by the lien. And I think the fourth, and it's an important one, is they wanted to further strengthen procedures that would guard against abusive mechanics liens. And the way they did that is by saying you now have to record a list pendens, because then you get the benefit of that expungement procedure, which in the same lien foreclosure action, you can now bring an expungement motion and challenge the merits of the claim. You can either show the claim's invalid, it was overinflated, it was not recorded correctly, there were time issues, you failed to give a preliminary notice. Any and all of those and other challenges can be brought up. And then if you're successful, the judge will enter an expungement order, which you can record. And you also can get attorney's fees unless the court believes that the lien was substantially justified in nature. So I think the overall thrust of it was get it all consolidated and give added protections to people impacted by the lien.
You have reviewed a number of published and unpublished decisions in the mechanics lien area over the past year. Of those, which one do you feel is the most significant as far as its implications for practitioners?
You know, this is a tough one because, and just so people know, if you go to the LexisNexis Emerging Issues, or if you go to the November issue of Matthew Bender's Cal Real Estate Reporter, you'll find my article in which I discuss 2012, both published and unpublished cases. And there's a lot of meat in there. And again, mechanics liens is a very technical area, so a lot of the decisions are technical in nature. But I think if I had to pick one, Steve, it would be the Cal Sierra Construction versus Co-America Bank case. And the site is 206 Cal App 4th 841. It's a 2012 decision. And actually, a petition for review to the Cal Supreme Court was denied. So the Supreme Court at least did a look, see whether it wanted to take the case because it presented an important issue and it denied review. And this case had to deal with what is known in this area as a Lambert motion. And a Lambert motion, in line with you and I discussing that mechanics liens are of constitutional origin, evolved out of a challenge to the fact that owners were deprived property rights through this summary recording of a list pendants. And the Cal Supreme Court, in a prior decision called Connolly, said no, because there is always the ability of a court in the action to entertain an expungement procedure. In other words, the impacted person by a lien should have the ability through a motion or a court proceeding to be able to show the court that this lien was invalid. So that, in essence, they answered the question that with that procedure, there would be no deprivation of property. So it became known, that procedure became known as a Lambert motion. Sierra, the Cal Sierra construction case, held that it's not available to construction lenders, that the whole constitutional challenge in Lambert itself only dealt with the property owner being able to challenge a list pendants. The interesting aspect is I think this case may have been changed or overturned by the new amendments that went into effect on July 1st of this year. And the reason that I say that is we've noted that one of the big changes is you have to record a list pendants and that folks have the ability that are impacted by a lien to use an expungement procedure. I think you can argue under the list pendants expungement statutes that a construction lender would be impacted by the mechanics lien. And so under the list pendants procedure, he would have an ability to intervene and then also bring his own motion to expunge. So even though he doesn't have a Lambert procedure, I believe that the new statute, you can make a good argument that the lender can intervene and use the list pendants expungement procedure, which was only made available because you now have to record a list pendants in connection with a lien foreclosure suit. So I think that's probably the single most decision, although a big asterisk, I think it may have been basically overturned, and the list pendants expungement procedure now provides a remedy to the construction lender.
Looking ahead to 2013 then, what kind of issues do you expect to see coming out of the courts?
Well, I think I'm going to say that there's going to probably be three areas. First of all, I think in the Liz Pendens expungement area, you're going to see a lot of cases. So you're going to see an analysis of how the Liz Pendens expungement procedures apply in the mechanics lien context. I think you're going to see some decisions deciding that issue. The second is I think you're going to see some cases that arise from litigation on the construction lender protections. And in the other 2012 unpublished decisions, I would say at least a good majority of them involve construction lenders. So I think you're going to see that some of the protections that we've talked about are going to be litigated and have it to be, they will go up and be looked at by the appellate courts. I think the third decision would be, this is going to be an important one, what's the impact if you fail to send a notice of mechanics lien or you fail to record the Liz Pendens? Under the new amendments, they basically indicate that the lien is null, unenforceable, and void. The big issue is, what does that mean? Does it mean that just that particular lien? Does it mean that you can never do that again? It's going to be interesting, and that issue has popped up in other contexts, so it's going to be interesting to see how the courts tackle that. I guess the fourth is, they're just going to have to be dealing with the new numbering of the system. In fact, in the December 2012 edition of Matthew Bender's Cal Real Estate Reporter, I write on an unpublished decision that came out after I had done my previous article. It was called the Integral Decision from the Second District Division 6, and guess what? They're now citing the Civil Code 8000 sections rather than the old scheme. So the appellate courts now know it's coming and that they're going to have to address the issues and use the new statutory scheme.
Mike, I direct people to those pieces that you've written and invite you back to update us down the road as to how these issues are developing in 2013. Thanks for your time, Mike, and for being with us on this LexisNexis Legal Podcast today.
Thanks, Steve.
Thank you for listening to this LexisNexis Legal Podcast. Visit the LexisNexis communities. Like the communities on Facebook. Follow them on Twitter. The LexisNexis Real Estate Law Community Podcast. Copyright 2012 by LexisNexis, a division of Reed Elsevier Incorporated. All rights reserved.